Hello and welcome to the first edition of VM Radio, a podcast presented by Dahlgren Sciences to bring innovative solutions to today's vegetation managers. Today I'd like to welcome Lloyd Hipkins with Virginia Tech University. Lloyd, how are you today?
I'm well, Jim. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. First of all, talk a little bit about your role with the university and how you interact with vegetation managers in your area.
Well, I'm an extension weed specialist with responsibilities in non-crop vegetation management, which also, you know, would include rights of way and such as highways and power lines. And then I'm also responsible for aquatic vegetation management. How do I interact with vegetation managers? We conduct research and we try to just be there more or less because we're a state agency. We're not selling any products or anything like that. And so we're sort of the people that when some of these folks have a question that they feel like they can come to us and get a straight answer, an unbiased answer, and that's what our responsibility is.
Okay, great. And I know that I understand that some areas along, you know, right of ways, especially in your area, are subject to maybe a little bit higher level of public scrutiny because they're either recreational right of ways or might have people living adjacent to them. Explain specifically how that affects vegetation managers in your area of the country where the population density might be a little bit higher.
Well, I'm in Southwest Virginia, and we don't have, it's not as dense here as it is in areas around like Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. Down here where we're located in the southwest part of the state, people are used to rural life and the use of chemicals and so on are accepted. But when you get to the more densely populated areas, such as around Washington, D.C., you have a lot of areas where the rights-of-way themselves, such as a power line right-of-way, is also used by the public, maybe through the Parks Authority or someone like that, as a trail or a walking trail or a bicycling trail. So you have a lot of people using those little corridors that can stretch for many, many miles. And a lot of these corridors go through communities where the homes are backed right up to the power line itself. So when you run into that situation, people get a little excited no matter what you do, no matter what kind of vegetation management you attempt to do. They don't always understand that it's essential. And they don't understand why you're doing it the way you're doing it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Right. And sort of related to that, understanding that people want reliable power, but some people just don't understand that integrated vegetation management is a big part of delivering that power. What advice do you have to reduce the chance of complaints as far as the vegetation manager goes?
Well, my advice when it's asked is to try and be as unobtrusive as possible, obviously. You have to understand for some of these people just a chainsaw out there is a disruption there that will get their attention right from the get-go. So anything that's going on adjacent to their quote-unquote property is worrisome. The use of chemicals, people have this idea in mind that all of these things are cancer-causing agents or something along those lines, and they're worried about it. And so we try and get the work done, like I said, as unobtrusively as possible. Obviously, in a lot of these areas, foliar springs is not possible. A lot of the work that's being done is dormant basal, or some cutting is done and treating the stumps and so on like that. Can be done during the fall and winter. Less people are out there. Temperatures are lower. You know, you can hold down on odors and so on like that. Which some people, if they just smell something that doesn't rhyme with the way they think things should smell, they get a little worried. And it doesn't take long. And after you get a phone call or two, or someone writes a letter to the paper, it can get out of hand pretty quick.
And hitting on that unobtrusivity, I guess, I know you've been doing a little bit of work with as far as Garland 4 Ultra and the reduced odor that offers vegetation managers. Can you talk a little bit about some of your research as far as Garland 4 Ultra is concerned?
Well, we've used Garlon for just from an experimental point of view, just to compare it to the old Garlon 4, and we found it to be equally efficacious. We didn't. There's no problem with it. One works just as well as the other. One of the pleasing things about it, it doesn't have the petroleum distillate in it, so it doesn't have quite as much odor, which is one of the reasons we were experimenting with it on the Washington and Old Dominion trail up in Fairfax, which has a power line that runs down through the middle of it. The lower the odor, the less, you know, the less people notice it, and it works quite well. My understanding from the people with Dominion Power is that while they haven't had an opportunity to check out the efficacy yet from last year's work, they didn't get any complaints, to my knowledge, about odor, which they had gotten previously.
And, you know, relating to the fact that it does have a lower odor, why would you consider using, you know, including this product in your operations if you were a vegetation manager?
Well, Garlon 4, we've always had a good relationship with that particular product. It works very well. It's been a product that over the years has proven itself time and again. The draw with the Garlon 4 Ultra is the fact that we have this lower odor threshold, and you're getting the the petroleum distillate out of the mix as well, which environmentally that's a plus as well. So if you can go from if you take the petroleum distillate out and insert a vegetable type mineral oil, obviously that's better. If you reduce the odor, people have less complaints, then you know that's better too. So I see no reason why people would have any qualms whatsoever about adopting it.
And I know you had mentioned before a little bit about Dominion Energy using that and that they haven't had any complaints. Can you explain that situation and just explain, you know, how they came about adopting Garlon 4 Ultra into their program?
Well, I don't know exactly that I can say they've adopted it yet. We made it available to them. I made arrangements through my Dow rep to get some of the product for them to use it this past dormant season. The only thing they're waiting to do basically is to make sure their efficacy is where they want it to be, and I see no reason why it won't be. I don't know that I've heard a lot more than the fact that they know that their opportunities for complaints from the general public, the opportunities for complaints are reduced, and that's, you know, that's sort of foremost in their minds. The WNOD canal right of way is right down dead right in the middle of folks everywhere. So anything that you can do to just accomplish your task without getting unwanted attention, obviously, is you know, that there's a lot of positive to that.
Excellent. Well, great. Hey, Lloyd, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, you're more than welcome, Jim. I'm happy to help you anytime you like.
Well, thank you, and stay tuned for more editions of VM Radio coming up in the near future.
All right, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Goodbye.